You can see what I'm talking about. It's going to probably be the last talk on hope in this particular series. To be honest, there was so much more that could be said and probably needs to be said. And I was thinking even, you know, how to keep hope alive would be a good subject. And I was almost going to share on that today. I think that's really, really important. But I couldn't resist it. I have to talk on the local church being the hope of the world. Hard act to follow after Dan's amazing talk last week. I don't know if he's here, but I'm going to give it a go. And last week, Dan was talking about you being the hope of your community. And I just loved that thrust, that emphasis. God has put you in your community to be a blessing. And we need to receive that and hear that. In fact, why don't we do that, put that in practice? Why don't you tell your neighbor, you are called to be a blessing in your community? That community might be your workplace, it might be school, it might be college, university. You are called to be a blessing in your community. So we need to be looking for those opportunities. We need to be looking for those opportunities to serve, to pray, to heal, to share the gospel, or simply to bless. I tell you what would be a really good icebreaker. Every week in your cell, ask the people, what have you done to be a blessing in your community? Who have you shared the gospel with? What act of kindness have you been able to bring this week? And hopefully it wouldn't be too quiet, because that's what God wants us to be, his hope in the community. It's our privilege, our calling, and our honor. Paul prays, well, you can be included as well. Paul prays that the eyes of our heart may be enlightened in order that we may know. I haven't got it on here, by the way. I don't know if that can be, no, down there. It's not working. Okay. That the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. Our eyes need to be opened by the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul's praying that prayer for the Ephesian church, that they may know the hope. In other words, without that revelation, without that understanding of the Holy Spirit, it is quite possible that they could be living their lives but not realizing that God has got a plan and a purpose for them. And so he prays, Holy Spirit, open their eyes that they may see. And that's my prayer for LifeSpring. Following on from Dan's talk, if you like, and now with today's talk, that the Holy Spirit will open our eyes to see from his perspective, to understand that God has called us to be good news to our community, to our town, and even our nation. As James would say, can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. But we need that revelation. Otherwise, it's just Nev, you're doing your positive talk again. But we need to have that revelation. We need to see with eyes of faith that he has called us to co-work with him to impact and to change and to transform people's lives, which begin to change communities and cultures and towns and cities. Hallelujah. Just ordinary people like you and me. Just ordinary people like Norman, who've experienced God's incredible grace through that healing. He has a story to tell and to share with others. So with the Apostle Paul, we pray that same prayer, that our hearts may be enlightened, that we will know this incredible hope to which he's called you. So don't switch off. Don't say it's not me. I'm not there in that place yet. Wherever you are, because it's Christ in us, which is the hope of glory. And as we let him out, wow, we can be such a blessing. I want you to just to watch this short video clip, please, and then I will come back and share a little bit more.
The local church is the hope of the world? No, as a matter of fact, God no longer dwells here. I don't believe that joy is a possibility, that our lives are better lived in community, and that we are called to love each other radically. The truth is, the church is on the brink of extinction. I refuse to believe that we are part of a story larger than our own, and we have been changed to bring change. Don't be fooled. Poverty is too overwhelming. Racism can't be overcome, and evil will never be defeated. It's impossible for me to believe things will get better. In the future, it will be evident God can't help, and you're wrong if you believe God can. I am convinced that you can't turn things around. I would be lying if I said God cares. But you should know I believe exactly the opposite. God cares. I would be lying if I said that you can't turn things around. I am convinced God can, and you're wrong if you believe God can't help. In the future, it will be evident that things will get better. It's impossible for me to believe evil will never be defeated, racism can't be overcome, and poverty is too overwhelming. Don't be fooled. We have been changed to bring change, and we are part of a story larger than our own. I refuse to believe that the church is on the brink of extinction. The truth is that we are called to love each other radically, that our lives are better lived in community, and that joy is a possibility. I don't believe God no longer dwells here. No. As a matter of fact, the local church is the hope of the world.
Amen. Amen. Well, you may have wondered where I was going when you saw the beginning of that video, but that beginning would reflect many Christians' view. Pessimism. I'm for the second part. The local church is the hope of the world. And you'll know that's one of my favorite statements. I didn't make it up, but it's one of my favorite statements. It's a declaration of faith. It's a declaration of intent and purpose. It is a statement of truth. The local church is the hope of the world. So, LifeSpring is a local church. So if that statement is true, we too are the hope of the world. Would you agree with me? I believe that's the case. Jesus says, start in Jerusalem, go to Samaria, go to Judea and the ends of the earth. Jesus' plan was for the city to eventually affect the nations. God is calling us here to start in Reading. So Reading is our focus. But it will go beyond Reading, I believe. God wants to touch the nation, even the continents. And we have this hope in us. We believe the impossible is possible. We believe darkness can become light. We've heard that in Christian story today. We believe sadness can be turned to joy. Fear can be turned to peace. Addiction can be turned to freedom. You see, we believe marriages can be restored. Families can be saved. Communities and towns can be touched and transformed because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we were talking about hope earlier on, we gave the definition of being a strong and confident expectation based on the promises of God. And that's why I believe the church is the hope of the world. It's a strong and confident expectation based on the promises of God, because Jesus lives in the church. Amen. You see, we don't offer hope based on what we can do. We offer hope based on what he has already done. You don't need to be a church, you don't need to be a Christian to offer hope based on our own ability. There's lots of good societies and clubs and people that do that. But the Church of Jesus Christ goes beyond that, because we can offer hope beyond what we can do in the natural, but we can connect people to the supernatural power and hope of the living God. Hallelujah. So I have a question. Is every church the hope of the world? Well, unfortunately not. Is LifeSpring automatically the hope of the world? Well, we have a building. We have a strategic location here in Reading, but I'm afraid it's the same answer. Those may help, but it's not automatic. Would you agree with that? You see, I want to suggest there are three C's that are essential if we are to be the hope of Reading and beyond. Three C's of the gospel we need to commit to and embrace. We've already looked at some of these, so I'll recap on it. But gospel content is the first C. We've looked at the three R's. We've looked at redemption, renewal, and restoration. If we are going to be the hope of the world, the content of the gospel doesn't need to be in our heads. It needs to be in our hearts, and people need to see the difference in our lives. What Christian was saying was so honest and real. You can say you believe one thing and you've given your life to the Lord and then you just live the opposite out there. It sows confusion. It doesn't bring hope. People say, I thought you were a Christian, but nothing's changed, this, that, and the other. Many of us have lived like that. Many of us maybe still do to some extent. But the content of the gospel, it's not just theology. It's there to change our hearts and our lives. This is our hope. And the reason for sharing some of this is so that when people ask you what your hope is, you'll be able to tell them too, that you've been redeemed, you've been restored, and you've been renewed. So let's just quickly look at redemption. Ephesians 1, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. This is where it all starts, church. We were bought with a price. He paid by his own blood. Our sins are forgiven. That slate, that all that bad stuff was washed away. Saved by the incredible grace of God. Christian, sorry, I keep using you. Christian kept messing up and there was always enough grace to cover each mess. And there still is enough grace to cover each mess. Jesus' blood paid the price. Jesus covered it all. There is no sin which was too great. People come in and we talk to people on the street sometimes and they think, well, I'm too bad. I could never be saved. I could never. Never say never. The grace of God is always greater than any sin which we have committed. And so we are redeemed, we are bought, we are purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why we can lift up our hands, that's why we can worship, that's why we celebrate, because we're saved, we've been redeemed. Number two, renewal. Verse there from Corinthians, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. And this is such good news. And Christian was just explaining what renewal was about. It was about being changed from glory to glory. It was about allowing the Spirit of God to really come and take over his life. And when we say yes to the Spirit of God and we say yes to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and we embrace and welcome and open up our hearts to him, we notice change takes place. In fact, if there's no change, I doubt whether you're saved. Because when he comes, he has to bring change. We've moved from darkness to light the moment we made that confession of faith. And then the Holy Spirit comes and he helps appropriate that in our lives. So we become more and more like Jesus. And I'm still on that journey. Not quite there yet, you may have noticed. I'm still on that journey. So I say, keep coming, Holy Spirit. Keep coming. Keep helping me, renewing me, filling me, giving me your life, getting rid of the old that the new might come. It's happened already spiritually. That transaction has taken place. We want to see it happening in our lives. And that's why I love the Holy Spirit. That's why we need him all the time, so much more. Come, Holy Spirit, keep renewing. New life. New life. Get rid of the old, that the new might come. And number three, restoration. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. This is part of our gospel too. Amen. That which has been lost, God wants to restore. He has good plans for you. He doesn't want you to remain depressed. He doesn't want you to remain disillusioned. He doesn't want you to remain beaten and broken through life or through whatever it might be. He wants to heal and restore you, that you might be used by him, a co-worker with him. He wants to give you purpose in life once again. That's the good news for every one of us. He wants to prosper us materially, physically, spiritually. He wants us to be whole. He wants to remove the curse of poverty, the curse of sickness. This is all part of the gospel, church. This is what Jesus died for. And this is his plan. And I was just reading Pastor Caesar's notes this week, or one of his books this week, and he says, so many people accept the gospel, but they don't realize we are called to plunder that which was stolen by the enemy. The call to plunder and bring it back. The enemy came to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus has come to give us life, abundant life, overflowing life. Hallelujah. Guys, come on. This is the hope of the gospel, isn't it? Isn't this what it's all about? This is why we can bring hope to the world. So it's our message of hope. Come to Jesus. He will redeem you, renew you, and restore you. Roy, that's a word for you, wherever you are. Come to Jesus. He will redeem you, renew you, and restore you. The future is bright when he comes into our lives. So, as I said earlier, not just head knowledge. No, we don't sort of know where the verses are. It needs to be in our lives. We need to see the change taking place. We need to celebrate forgiveness. We need to rejoice in renewal. And we need to be beginning to see the plans and the purposes and the blessing of God working out in our lives. I think the world wants to know about that. I think it's worth telling them. Wouldn't you agree? So, gospel content. Those three R's, so important. Number two, though, gospel community. A couple of scriptures here. This is Jesus talking to Peter. I tell you, you're Peter. And on this rock, this confession, this statement, that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God, on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. Hallelujah. I was talking to somebody before the meeting. I'm positive about the church, I said. I'm positive about the future of the church. I believe there's a great future ahead of us. And I believe that great future is going to touch towns, cities, nations of the world. I don't think it's just for Africa and South America and parts of Asia. I think Europe's included in God's plans too. He's going to build his church. The gates of hell won't be able to stand against it. And the second verse I just wanted to put up there, for where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. New translation. There am I with them. And we need to understand that. That's why the gospel community is so important. Where we gather, he gathers. Hallelujah. That's why we could pray with confidence this morning. Come, Holy Spirit, touch lives. Expecting lives to be changed, lives to be touched. So we're the Church of Jesus Christ has a message of hope because we're built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. We have a message of hope because when we gather, he does too. And that's not just here, that's in your cells, that's in your families, that's wherever we might meet. Where two or three gather, he comes. Be a good host, just welcome him. Start your cell welcoming him. Because he wants to be there. It's him in the midst which is going to change your cell. Make that opportunity. That's why we often start with worship and thanksgiving. We just need you, Lord. We just want to welcome you. You said you're here. We want to sense your presence among us. We have a message of hope when we gather in his name. We have a message of hope because we are the community of hope, the gospel community, the Church of Jesus Christ. There is no other community of hope. You see, we're God's family. He's our Father. There's no place for racism, ageism, or sexism. We are one because he has made this gospel community one through the blood of Jesus. Every barrier has been broken down. Barrier between God and us was broken down, and we can relate and connect. Barriers between every barrier that you could imagine has been broken down in the gospel community. Hallelujah. Black and white, rich and poor, young and old, male and female, we're one because he's made us one. All are welcome. And in this community, we share his love and we share his life together. That's why we love to celebrate, we love to worship. It's the most important part of the meeting as far as God's concerned. He knows what I'm going to say, he knew it already, but he loves to see our hearts. He loves to see the overflow. He loves it actually when you put your phones away and put your hands up and worship him for who he is, because he's worthy of our worship and praise. In fact, Sunday should be an overflow of our walk with him in the week. So it's not like Sunday feeds the week, it's like the week feeds Sunday. We come to say, Lord, you're good, you're great, you're faithful. We've been through tough times, we've been through good times, but we give you all the praise because you're worthy of it. That's what we do in the community of hope. All are welcome to join us. We love to give and be generous. It's not just for Sundays. John Kirtley in our cell just asked, I can't remember how it was, but we went through just giving opportunities. It was opportunities we'd missed, but opportunities we had taken. And I was just so encouraged to hear, you know, the different ways people have been generous, whether it's just a sandwich to somebody in the road, whether it's opening up a home to them, whether it was whatever it might be. We're called to give and to be generous. That's the difference between the gospel community and those not in that community. We love to serve. We love to honor. We're followers of Jesus, becoming his disciples and training others to be his disciples too. Sure, we meet in cells, we meet in homes, we have meals together, we go out for drinks together, we pray, we read the Bible, we love each other. It's community. It's a gospel community. And in the gospel community, we have standards. Not everything goes. There's principles. We stand on God's truth. But you're welcome if you don't know what God's truth is. You can still come and be part of us because we love grace. We love grace. We need his grace. In fact, it's standards saturated by grace. You know, I might set the standard up here for me, and I know I'm not going to make it every day, but his grace is there. And I'm still aiming for that, but his grace is there. And I can draw on his grace to help me get there. And if I fail, I can draw on his grace, and he forgives me. And he helps me get up again. Helps me deal with my disappointment. And he empowers me to keep going. A church full of grace and truth, just like Jesus. That's the gospel community. That's why we can have hope. If there's no truth, there's no hope, by the way. Our hope is based on truth. But we want to open up our arms. We want to open up our homes. We want people to come, feel welcome in this gospel community. Such a community is good news in our society, where there is more loneliness than ever before. And in this area of Reading, it would be rife. People behind their little bedsit doors, sleeping on basements, some haven't got homes to go to either. Wherever they might be, they might not be classified as homeless because they've got a roof, but there's a lot of loneliness. I'm wondering how we can meet those needs. Where there is marriage and family breakdown, where there is hatred among races. I had the opportunity the other day just to go to the mosque with a bunch of other Christian leaders, and it was just to build a bridge. We don't hate you, Muslims. We don't hate you. You know, we worship a different God, but we're your neighbors, and we love you as Jesus loves you. You know, it was building a bridge where there's hatred out there in the community, and Reading's not too bad at that, actually, is it? But some towns and cities, it's obviously a whole lot worse. Where abuse is rampant and trust, particularly of authority, is low, there is a community for you. You can come and you can be welcome here. Here in Reading, people have come, who've left other countries, their families and their homes. I've not experienced that. It must be very, very hard to adjust and to settle. There's a gospel community here. You're welcome. I thank God for the maybe 30 different nationalities represented here at LifeSpring. You're welcome in this place. Others have lost everything through addiction and through problems of the past. My prayer is this community will be their family and their home as we open up our hearts and doors and be good news. Would you like to be part of that community? Shall we express that hope? Shall we let people know? You see, and the thing is about a gospel community, some may join and they may feel they belong before they even believe. And that's great. It's great that there are cells with non-Christians going along to their cells. They feel this is their cell. Don't realize they're part of our church, but they feel this is their cell. But in the gospel community, gospel content just gets splashed out. It just gets leaked. Hope, you can be saved, you can be renewed, you can be restored. There's hope for people that come in this mix. When we live the gospel life, we can't help but share the gospel content. And when people respond to the gospel content, their lives are changed too. And then they can go out further and take this hope which Jesus has given us. Can you see? A church of hope has to be committed to the gospel content and has to be committed to the gospel community. Not just a club, a gospel community which exists to make him known and to express his love. Amen. Number three, third one. Oh, I think I must have missed that. Nope, that comes up later. Oh, I've missed the slide. Oh, well, we'll get to it in a moment or two, but it's gospel cause. We are the hope of the world when we know and are changed by gospel content and when we're committed to the gospel community, but we need to embrace the cause of the gospel. This is what Jesus said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." This is what he also said, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house." Church, this is our calling, and this is the cause we all need to be living for. We have this treasure to share. The presence of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are here to bring light into darkness. We are here, like Jesus, to seek as well as to save the lost. It's not, well, I'll sit back and wait for the lost to come with me and I'll share the gospel. Jesus came to seek. He went out looking for those which hadn't been found. He wanted to reach them. One of the reasons I'm just partnering with Jim at the moment in going into town centre is I have very few Christian friends. Got some new neighbours we need to get to know. Challenge non-Christian friends. Oh, God, not Christian friends. Non-Christian friends. Got some neighbours I need to get to know. And that will be good for us to get to know. But I'm working with Jim because I want to seek and to find those that yet don't yet know him. And if that applies to you, you've either got to join a club, you've either got where there's non-Christians, you've either got to do something where there's non-Christians or talk to your work colleagues, because Jesus came to seek and to save that who was lost. Now, we've got a building here and some people come, and that's great. But I think we've got to go. We can't rely on people coming. We need to be committed to a cause that says we have to go. And this building, you know, so many prophetic words about being light in darkness, about it being a lighthouse. But of course, it's not the building, it's the people. And we need to respond to that. That's why Cafe 12 is important, by the way. That's why we want to develop Cafe 12, because we want people to be able to come in to the gospel community, because we're committed to a gospel cause to make him known. Hallelujah. When Paul prays that we'll see our calling, it's so that we can commit to it. You see, the church... No, we still haven't got it. The church is plan A, and there is no plan B. It's down to us. It's an incredible privilege which we have. So this gospel of Jesus Christ, an incredible treasure we've been entrusted with. Paul says we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. That's the treasure we have. On the outside, ordinary-looking people. Accountants, plumbers, mums at work, teachers. Some people haven't got jobs. Some people have retired. Some people are studying, whatever it might be. Ordinary people like everybody else. But on the inside, there's treasure. On the inside, there's treasure. And Paul, in the context here, when Paul puts it, gave us this verse, you know, there's challenges all around him. He's perplexed. There's issues which he's facing. They're feeling beaten up. They're feeling run down. And he says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And it strikes me that whether you think life is good or life's really tough at this moment in time, there's still a treasure. And he wants you to leak that treasure and let it out. On the inside, that message of redemption, renewal, and restoration, so others who are broken can receive this precious gift. Church, the cause means we don't keep it to ourselves. Committed to the gospel cause means we have to take it out. And then as we commit to these three areas, I believe that statement, the local church is the hope of the world, can become a reality for the people of Reading. So, church, as I close, we need to experience redemption and freedom. We need to experience that new spirit. Keith, can you just come on the keys? We need to experience that new spirit and that new heart which he wants to give us. Please hear me. We can't do this in our own strength. It's not going to be me or Malk or whoever in our ability we're going to be good news to Reading. No. We just need to be willing vessels, but it's him. It's his life. I don't want to be a contemporary church. I want to be a charismatic church where the life of the Spirit is flowing through. I don't mind being contemporary, but more important, be charismatic. The life of the Spirit flowing through, bringing words, bringing healing, bringing hope, not just here, but to the people that we meet outside of the church. You need to believe and receive his plans of blessing and prosperity so that you can be a blessing. That's part of the gospel plan for you. And there may be some here whose lives, you know, you've been a Christian and you just thought, well, I've received the Spirit, my life's changing, but life's a mess still. God's got better plans than that. God wants to come and heal and restore, because Reading needs to see and hear what God has the power to do through the people of God. Let's stand together, and I just want to pray this last prayer over, oh, here we are, over you. Can you just lift up your hands? This is a blessing from the Lord, because we are the community of hope if we can respond to those three C's which I've talked about: the content, the cause, and the community. And I pray the God of hope will fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Amen.